Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, let's go all the way to Mark 16. Let's go all the way to Mark 16 and see what we can make of it this evening. We're looking at the series we started before the Navigating Your Bible series last week. That lasted all through last week. So we're just going to pick up from where we stopped, probably Sunday, a little on Sunday, but more emphatically the Sunday before. So look at Mark 16, verse 14. Look at Mark 16. Are you in Mark 16? Go all the way to Mark 16, verse 14. If you look at what Jesus said unto them, the Bible says, and he said unto them, said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Right, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And it says, in my name they shall cast out devils. Right, in my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongue. Look at that one more time. It says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. So what we've done, I'm actually going to bring this series to a close next week, Wednesday. Okay, next week Wednesday we're going to have a question and answer session on Sunday. Then I'll have a final session on Sunday, or a semi-final session on Sunday, with a final session on Wednesday. But one of the things we've looked at in this series is, what exactly is evangelism? We've paid attention to what evangelism is. We've looked at what evangelism is not. We said, a lot of us believe that evangelism is about their lifestyle, my lifestyle, what I'm living, how my neighbors see me, how I help my neighbor take the bean out, how I help my neighbor receive their parcel when they're not home, and the likes. And whilst that is very good, but that's not the instruction to get people saved, or that's not the instruction that we are giving as believers, and that's not what gets a man saved. A man doesn't get saved by saying, oh, I noticed that you helped you take my bean in. I noticed that you helped take my bean out. Right? Wow, I just believe that there's a Jesus. No, there's a message that needs to be done. Now, taking out of bean can be a means by which you soften the heart, or you try to create a platform or an opportunity for the message of the gospel to be preached. Are we together? But if the message of the gospel is not preached, it is not preached, right? And it has to be preached, then heard, before it can believe. So we said that every believer can preach. Every believer should be a preacher. Every believer should consider himself as a preacher. One of the things we had started earlier on was around how we ought not to keep our mouth shut, because we had an example of a man who, having lived a very wayward life, found himself in the midst of two ladies who eventually preached the gospel to him, and eventually those words that were sown were seeds that came in handy years down the line. And we could also see Apostle Paul in scriptures as well. Stephen would be stoned to death, and whilst he was being stoned to death, Stephen would keep the message of the gospel on his lips. And while he would do that, Paul would hear, Paul would listen. And Paul eventually, it will make sense with Paul's vision and encounter he would have later down the line, and Paul will now become born again and become the one who is an authority in the writing of the letters that you see to different churches. So we said that God is walking through the earth. God is doing a walk through the earth, but God is doing his work with you. Walking, co-laboring with you, and doing his collaborating with you to do his will on the earth. So we said scripture says take my yoke, it's easy, and we said that what that really means is that we need to come in hand with Jesus in laboring over the hearts of men. And if we don't do that, we'll end up creating a lot of ridiculous engagements, or or let me say that differently, I will end up creating people who are not, you know, coming to accept of the love of God that has been expressed through the cross. I remember one of the things we said as well was that there's a man called Reverend Tom of Christ Embassy, and he did a teaching about, and part of it was cropped up, and one of the things that was said in that video was, in the last 30 days of your life, how many people have stopped you to preach to you? In the last 1 year of your life, how many people have stopped you on the road to preach to you? I hope you know that the word Christian is not on your forehead, right? So it means that it's not as though there are people who are preaching and they see and sense you are a Christian, right? And they don't preach to you. The truth is just that there are a lot of people that are not doing the work that they are meant to do. That's just the truth, right? And also the question goes, how many people have you preached to in 30 days? How many people have you preached to in 1 year? How many people have you preached to in 2 years, right? You come in contact with people at different days and different points of your life. And in all of that, one of the things that must be priority to your mind is preaching the gospel. That's very, very, very important, right? So we need to give ourselves to the great work. And you know, on Sunday, and you all shouldn't forget, but I gave you all an assignment to ensure that you reach out to 5 people to engage them in the message of the gospel throughout this week before next week, Sunday. So we said, when Jesus is going to the world and preach, the word there, preach, means to announce an event or to announce the activities from an event or the victory of an event, right? So we went through scriptures to pay attention to what it means to go into the world, what is expected of us as believers, what does God expect of us as believers when we are to preach the gospel, to do the work of evangelism. We also went further to talk about what evangelism is not. And we said, whilst it's good to invite people to your local church, that's not evangelism. Yeah, it's a means, it's something that can walk around, that can, you know, it's something that should be done. You should actually invite people to a place where you think you're feeding from and you think you're feeding good from. But that's not as much the assignment of, you know, evangelism, like I said, even though it's a part of it, right? So we don't invite unbelievers to our church, come and hear our pastors. We engage them with the gospel when we meet them, and when we engage them with the gospel, we bring them into the local church for accountability's sake and for training and discipleship. We also said evangelism is not sharing of tracts, whilst that's very good. Yeah, we have tracts as a church that we share, but it's not as much going to the streets to just be giving people tracts. It's a part of it, but we are meant and called to engage with people regarding the message of salvation. That's a very important fact. We say evangelism as well is not posting church flyer on a WhatsApp page. Was that something that you should give yourself to? Evangelism is not responsibility for setting people. We said evangelism is not sharing of tea and coffee. We already said that over time. We say evangelism is not doing community service for the community. This day on Sunday, let everybody in Gospel House come together. We want to sweep the entire and the entire M8 all the way from Motherwell Street to Edinburgh Park. We just want to be walking and just be picking all the dirt and be sweeping and everything. That's a good thing, you know, but that's not evangelism. You've checked it very well. If you're in a country or in a place where things are in order, there are specific people who have that responsibility and task to do, you know. So it's not preaching the gospel, and you don't have to be Christians to do that. They have been paid for that, you know. So we said evangelism is not community service, but something that there's nothing wrong in us coming together to clean our environment together. So evangelism is not playing gospel music on the streets. And that's good, very important to note as well, because you can have a speaker play music, but that's not the message, or that's not the work of evangelism. It's just a means to, it was always ensure that you don't replace the means to an end as the end. That's a very vital fact to pay attention to, right? So evangelism is not clothing people, even though, yes, giving people clothes, and is, you know, buying clothes for people is not a bad thing, you know, but if you clothe people who are naked, well, what nakedness mean? Nakedness will mean to be without the cloth, becoming the robe of salvation and righteousness, right? It's actually just of no point. So if you're going to clothe people in the name of the gospel, why should clothe them? You preach the message of the gospel that teaches or speaks about clothing of people with the garment and robe of salvation. So evangelism is not sharing story of our past. There's a place where that can come in, but your goal is not entirely to go and tell people, I used to do this, I used to do that, I used to do this, because truth is, people forgive a lot of things, but people don't forget. altogether. So evangelism is not my life, it's preaching the message. My neighbors are watching me. That's good, but that's not the message. Evangelism is not a life without Christ. Oh, just think about it. Evangelism is the act of you going out to engage another with the aim of him or her to listen to the teachings of the gospel and to get saved from condemnation. You get that? So nobody watches you live a life and is saved from condemnation. Nobody just listens to a random music on the road, all of a sudden fine-tunes it. Yeah, the gospel should be sung, that's the truth, you know, but the gospel being preached in the real sense is much important when it comes to engaging people randomly on the streets. Very, very important to note. So evangelism is not come and see my pastor or come to Jesus and your issues will be solved or resolved. So evangelism is not ministry of the things of the spirit, whilst we encourage you all to as a local church, like, you know, to engage in the things of the spirit. We said the truth about evangelism, we spoke about evangelism and its facts. I said evangelism includes the fact that Christ died, he was buried and resurrected to live in the heart of a man. We looked through scriptures around that. I said evangelism is not an instruction, or is an instruction rather, not an opinion or an option. So a believer doesn't have an opinion about evangelism. That's very, very important to note. We don't have opinions about evangelism. You must also always ensure that your mindset of evangelism is to see it as an instruction, right? So we don't have, it's not an option, it's not something you want to just have an option regarding and just see how your life can, you know, work regarding that. So it's very important to note that. Then we also said that there are some skills for evangelism that are, and those skills are usually only built over time. I would say the best way to learn how to evangelize is to practice evangelism. That's the best way to learn how to evangelize, to practice evangelism. And we said that you get better at the things you give your attention to. And in life, that's what it is. Anything you give your attention to, your focus to, you actually get better at it. Like I always say jokingly, even if it is stealing, yeah? Yeah, so we said evangelism involves a man taking the initiatives to speak with people and to engage people with discussions. Like, for instance, you see Acts 8, Philip and the you know, the Ethiopian eunuch, right? So everyone we meet or pass or come in contact with deserves to be told the gospel. Now, you don't go to the streets and hear someone's name is Stephen, and hear someone's name is Matthew, and just assume they are Christians. No, you don't go to the street and hear someone's name is, whatever it is, and just assume they are Christians. Let's think about it this way. They are Christians who bear names of gods. Are we together? Yeah, they are Christians who bear the names of traditional worshippers, right? You don't expect the people in traditional worshippers or the traditional worshippers and those who worship those traditional gods or whatever it is to just hear your name and just assume by default you are a part of them. The same thing for the Christian faith. You can just assume that because someone's name is Matthew, John. Yeah, someone can bear Matthew, his surname is John, and his middle name is Jesus, right? And is properly, you know, in unbelief. Yeah, so you must ensure you take that initiative, ensure that you preach the gospel, even if anyone, even a Christian needs to hear the gospel. You get that, right? Yeah, so I've said evangelism as well requires intentionality. So the believer has to be very, very intentional. Believer has to be very intentional. And the gospel of evangelism is about the work of Jesus. Jesus and his work said that evangelism is your responsibility and the evangelized is supposed to become an evangelist. So the one you are preaching to today should become an evangelist tomorrow. That's a very, very, very important thing to note, right? Yeah, just trying to check that everyone can hear me and everything is going fine. Yeah, just to be sure that everyone can hear me and everything is going fine, yeah? Just give me that check.
One. Yes, we can hear you, sir.
Perfect, that's good. All right, yeah. Okay, that's good, just to be sure that that's fine. Yeah, okay, so we said you know, Jesus gave that instruction. Jesus gave certain instructions. Jesus gave that instruction to go into the world and preach the gospel. We looked through several scriptures to emphatically ensure that we or to emphatically show this as an instruction, or that this should be the slant of a believer. And one of the things we started doing as well is the practice of evangelism, how to start conversations. We said one of the ways you can start conversation is through supernatural or spiritual or spiritual activities or the gifts of the spirit, right? There are lots of conversations that have been initiated by, you know, reaching out to people randomly on the road and stating specific facts about their lives that no one else could have known randomly except by the Spirit of God, right? So, and that's a way to initiate conversation with people. Another way to initiate conversation is by introducing yourself. You know, we spoke about the kind of questions to ask. I'm trying to compress what we've done in the last 2 months, right? The kind of questions you can ask, you know, do you have a few seconds to spare? Do you have a few minutes to spare? Do you have a few seconds to talk about love, talk about Jesus, talk about life, right? Some can also be payment of a compliment. You can pay a simple compliment. So your smile is good, your smile is beautiful, you know, or whatever you have a good, they said it's a smell or a scent or whatever it is, right? But just ensure that you pay attention to the sentiment, to the compliments you make, and also observe the environment you find yourself. We look through using life and love as a conversation to start. I'll pay attention to all the things that I've mentioned in the last few minutes, also where you can have conversations in the mall, public transport, classroom. Wow, we've done a lot in this series, really. Public transport, football, after a football event or an event or a meeting point where people are gathered together, you can use the conversation in which, for instance, after watching UEFA Champions League, for instance, yeah, you can from that initiate a conversation, right? Now, you must always ensure that whilst you initiate or get yourself involved in conversations, you don't get yourself distracted, not to forget that you have a goal. That is to tilt rather, and channel your conversations to end with the gospel. Also look at how to preach to children, preach to teenagers, and how to preach to family members. We'll look through that. Then one of the things we started paying attention to is we also look at compassion, having compassion for the lost, and also look at how the evangelist needs to be a man of prayer. You need to give yourself strictly and solely to prayer as we fulfill the will of the Father through the wings of prayer and through the ministry of prayer. So we look through questions around when do we pray, why do we pray, what kind of prayers do we pray, and we look through all of that. We look at prayer for preservation, prayer for boldness. Remember that teaching or those teachings, prayer for boldness for the evangelist, prayer for preservation, prayer for signs and wonders. We looked at Acts chapter 4, Acts 4:29, Acts 4:23, Acts 4:23-30, boldness to keep preaching the gospel, signs and wonders to be experienced. And after that, so we started looking at what is next after a man gets saved. We started looking at follow-up. I would say, in as much as you're listening to this for a disciple you would have sooner or later, or you already have, you must ensure that you listen to it for yourself as well. So how do you get people to speak in tongues, right? A very, very quick way to go around it is teach from Mark's Gospel 16, this sign shall follow them, they shall speak with new tongues. Emphatically ensure that they acknowledge that they are saved. And once they acknowledge they are saved, they can clearly see in scriptures that this is what the Bible says about a man who is saved. He can speak in tongues. So tongues is for starters. So once you start there, one of the things you can do is you can lay hands on them, right? And laying hands on them, you minister words into them, or minister words to their ears, right? You speak words to them, right? Then after speaking words to them, you can also create an atmosphere of tongues. See, what I just compressed in 30 seconds is actually something I can take out time to build on. So what I said, you can easily lose Mark 16 from verse 14, 15, 16, and said unto them, going to go and preach the gospel. So I've preached to you right now, right? Yeah, verse 16 now says, he that believes, so you have believed me right now. He says, they shall not be condemned, but shall be saved. So if you have believed, so I have preached the gospel. So Jesus has sent me. So I'm being practical with you. Jesus has sent me to preach the gospel to you. I've preached the gospel to you. You have believed the gospel that you heard from me. Now you are saved. So did you believe? Yes. Do you know you are saved? Yes. So another thing again you can do is emphatically go through scriptures as well to show how saved they are. Look at the scriptures around eternal salvation that we've taught as well in the follow-up teaching, right? Then he that believes shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. This sign shall follow them that believe. So what is the sign? In my name, they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, right? You can pay, it is easier to pay attention to tongues in that moment than casting out of devils. Because you see what? In this life, an average person is scared of devils. Are we together? But so you can pay attention to speaking of tongues in verse 17. Then afterwards, in your discipleship, you can now put them through the act and the attitude of casting out of devils, right? But what I'm just trying to say to you, if you want to get them filled in tongues, you can use Mark 16. You can take them through the teaching. If you look, it took an example is in Acts 10, verse 39. Bible says that Peter was, speaking and teaching the gospel. Bible says that whilst Peter yet spoke, the Holy Ghost fell. So what does it mean that the Holy Ghost fell? The Holy Ghost fell means that there were physical demonstrations of the activities of the Spirit amongst the people Peter was teaching, right? So it means that when the gospel is being taught, a man can speak in tongues in the moment, right? The manifestation of the Spirit can be seen in the moment. That's why we say you don't have to have the healing service before a believer is healed or before anyone is healed, because God is always ready to allow or to see or for to show or for man to, he's always ready for man to see a demonstration of himself to mankind or to humanity, right? And in coming in things of the Spirit and activities of the Spirit. So it's very, very important for you to know that that's one of the ways you can, get a man filled in tongues. You can also go through explaining 1 Corinthians 12, what we've done extensively in church, and, make them understand that to speak with tongues is not a conversation of a language of another country or community that you've not heard before, that you didn't know before. Another way, again, you can go through that is Acts 19 from verse 4 to 7, when Paul, will get people filled in tongues as well. Then you can use Acts 2 as well to explain and being filled with tongues. So Acts 2, for instance, we'll say the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all gathered together in the assembly, right? And they began to hear sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and they filled the house where they were sitting, and they appeared upon them cloven tongues like a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, right? Speaking with other tongues, there is the same thing as speaking with new tongues in Mark 16. And the word there just simply speaks about a tongue or a language that is unique to a species of people, right? It's a kind of language. So every believer, because you have the indwelling of the Spirit, there's a language that is unique to you. There's a language that is unique to you, and that's a language of the Spirit. So it's very, very important to pay attention to these things I've just said as well. So now we're looking at follow-up. So let's go into our teaching for today. I've used the last 22 minutes to wrap up or to summarize what we've been teaching in the first, I don't know if this is the second, this is probably the third month, actually. This is actually the third month. This is the third month because we have done probably, this probably track 14 or thereabouts. Yeah, so very important to pay attention to these things that we are saying, and also to follow through. So we're looking at following up with your new convert. What are the teachings that you need to make? I would say one of the things you must pay attention to is the teaching on salvation. Are we together? I would say salvation is not about what we have given or what we have brought to the table, but it is what we have collected from the table in which we've come to. So imagine you preach the gospel to another. You see your act of preaching the gospel as you preparing a meal right in front of a man who is hungry. Right, yeah. So what that man brought to the table was just hunger. Right? Jesus will say, right, if anyone be hungry and thirsty, let him come to me to drink. For out of his belly shall flow rivers of water. That scripture had said, out of whose belly, the belly of Christ Jesus, through the womb of resurrection. Right. So you need to actually understand that being able to merge scriptures together and bring them together to bring it alive is very important characteristics and traits of a good Bible student. Right. So we said what that man brought to the table was hunger. He didn't bring his good works. He didn't say, oh, I came with my cutlery, I came with my good works. I don't used to steal, I don't used to lie. No, you came hungry, and because you came hungry, you are filled up with the brim, and the food that you ate is the bread of life, and the water you drank is the blood of Jesus, which is actually the life of Jesus from the resurrection. We've taught that over time, right? So you get to emphasize to them that they are saved, right? What does it mean to be saved? To be saved just really means to believe the gospel and the message of salvation. That's all. To be saved just simply means to believe the gospel and the message of salvation. So if we pay attention to, the things that scripture teaches, we'll find out that what scripture teaches about our eternal state is actually something that is loudly written or emphatically demonstrated rooted in the scriptures. So salvation is eternal. We believe strongly as a local church, like you know that, that salvation is eternal. Once a man is saved, he's born again and is sanctified, righteous, made holy, accepted, not because of what he has done or what he has not done or what he is doing or what he wants to stop doing, but because of what Jesus has done on the cross, right? The Bible says that he is able to save to the uttermost. And we said that is the work of Christ Jesus to save man to the end of time. So those are very important things that the believer must and should pay attention to. We went on looking at what sonship is for the believer. We said the believer is the son of God. And what that means by default is that the believer has a relationship with God, whereby the believer's God is now his father. Right, to be born again means you now have a relationship with God. Then God refers or relates with you as a child. That's a very, very important fact or important thing that a believer must pay attention to, and a new convert must pay attention to. Right, went further to talk about righteousness in Christ, what it means to be righteous, and it means to be without fault, to be without blame, to be without guilt. And we say we have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we say the righteousness the believer has is a righteousness that is actually strictly predicated on the work of Jesus on the cross. Right, so we don't get righteous because of the things we do or because of the things we don't do, but we become righteous in that Jesus has done something for us on the cross through the resurrection. Hallelujah. Wow. So it looks like I'm a little fast today because I'm just compressing what we have taught in probably 10 weeks, right? So imagine 10 weeks and 10 weeks compressed together is what I'm doing for you all today. So we looked at forgiveness of sins. What does it mean to have forgiveness of sins? We said forgiveness of sins is not as much a pardon in scriptures, but actually a separation of man from his sin and the repercussion of sin. Yeah, that's what forgiveness of sin really entails, right? A separation of man from his sins and the repercussion of sin. So Bible explicitly teaches that salvation, forgiveness of sins, is something that is eternal, is an activity of God in the resurrection, through the resurrection, in God trying to do a work that separates man from iniquity. I was together, we said, who's it going like unto thee? Micah 7 verse 18 teaches about that. And it says, God deals with sins and puts sins into the depth of the sea. And what does depth of the sea mean? It means the point in life or the point in space or the point in on the earth where man cannot get to alter what has been done. Hallelujah. Then we looked at the indwelling of the Spirit. I would say the indwelling of the Spirit is a very vital a reality of the Christian or the believer. And it's also something that we need to pay attention to. We together, very, very, very important. So it says the Spirit of God is the Spirit of God has come into the heart, the mind, the soul of a believer. The Spirit of God has come into the heart, the mind, the soul of the believer. So it's very important, very, 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 very important to note. Very, very important to note that fact about what the believer has received, right? So the indwelling of the Spirit is a seal that the believer has received until the redemption of the purchased possession. I remember giving you an example a few weeks ago. So now the next part I started looking at again was, what is your responsibility as a believer? I was started looking at spiritual growth. What is spiritual growth? Right, and we said spiritual growth is actually a proof of life, so to say, or let me say differently. When you are alive, it means you need to grow. Now, what is growing is not your spirit as a believer, even though we say it's spiritual growth. Yeah, what grows is your knowledge, your mind, your conduct, your attitude in Christ Jesus. Right, so it's very, very important to know that as a believer, there's a lot that must be said or must be seen as a transformation in your life and of your life. Right, you can say you were born again 10 years ago, born again last week or last month, and the things you did 10 years ago, right, you're still struggling with them between last year or last month and today, right? Yes, definitely, there's a part of growth here, yeah, but the truth is that when you start seeing those things that you're struggling with, you need to expose them to the riches of God's word. You need to expose them to God's teaching, or to teaching of God's word. Very, very important. So spiritual growth is actually a choice we make, yeah? You don't grow by default. Yes, you grow by nurture, right? You don't grow by default, you grow by nurturing. So you nurture yourself. You know, there's a song we sang, we usually sang when we were growing up. It says, read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. Let me tell you something, dear saints. That is not Old Testament singing. No. If you want to grow, you have to read your Bible, pray every day. Read your Bible every day, pray every day. Listen to God's word every day. You see, you should have that culture of listening to God's word every day. Don't allow the only time you hear God's word in the week be when pastor is preaching on Wednesday and on Sunday. No, you cannot actually do as much, right? Yeah, because you see, it's just simple, right? You cannot compare the growth of someone who is eating three times a day, right? Listen to this carefully. You can't compare. So you give birth to twins, right? And the twins, two children, right? Yeah, you feed one of them three times a day. You feed one of them once a day. Let me tell you something. 5 months, in 1 year, in 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, you will see the difference. Yeah, you see the difference. You will see the difference. Yeah. So how do you build muscle? You stretch your muscle, you build your muscle. That means things will not be convenient for you sometimes. You would have to stretch yourself. You have to stretch yourself, right? So it's something that nobody can do it for you. I can't grow for you. You know, the only thing I can do for you is to put meal on the table, right? I can only put meals or a meal on the table for you to see, but I cannot grow for you. You cannot grow for me. So what I'm expected, if I want to grow, it's my responsibility to ensure that I'm growing. It's my responsibility to ensure that I'm growing. Very, very important to note, right? So how do you grow? You grow by feeding on the word every day. You grow by studying the word every day. You grow by meditating on the word day and night. Bible says in Joshua 1:8, this book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt meditate in day and night. Yeah, you should meditate on God's word over and over, over and over. When you're in the gym, get God's word going. When you're on the train, get God's word going. When you're on the tram, get God's word going. When you're in the car, get God's word going. Altogether, if you don't have that very double-sided life of you just thinking the church is for the church and everything outside the church, is think about it. How many hours do you spend in the church? You see, you don't listen to me. An average person, I hope you know, right? I hope you know that generally speaking, right, we are privileged as a church to appear among the few people who spend as much as an hour 30 minutes per service to teach God's word. Yeah, I hope you know that. I hope you know that, right? That we're privileged, you know, as a local church to find ourselves amongst. So I teach for an hour 30 minutes on Wednesday. I teach for an hour 30 minutes, usually maximum 2 hours on a Wednesday. When we have special meetings, we come together for hours, but I'm talking about what is frequent. So it means that in every week, you only listen to me 1 hour 30 minutes on Wednesday, 1 hour 30 minutes on Sunday. Right, that's 3 hours. Yeah, mathematics shows us that in a week we have about 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week. So that's 7, 6, 8. So that's about 168 hours in a week. Yeah, so mathematics shows us that you have 168 hours in a week, and out of 168 hours in a week, you only listen to me for 3 hours. Yeah, so you listen to me for 1 hour and for 3 hours, that's 3/168. Yeah, you see, 10% of 168 is 16 hours 80 minutes. Let's leave it like that. 16.8, right? That's 10% of 168 hours. 1% is 1 hour 60 something. So let's say you listen to me in a week, or you listen to teachings in the local church, we get to meet ourselves, or you get to listen to me teach probably less than 1% of your week. Are we together? Less than 1% of your week. Less than 1% of your week. And I told you, right, generally, I've visited churches, I've gone around churches in the very few days of my life, and I know that a lot of churches I've visited, right, the entire services runs within the hours we use for teaching alone in God's palace. So it means that if we're having a midweek service, for instance, probably 1 hour, 30 minutes, on Sunday, we do 5 services between 8 and 12. Imagine you are doing 5 services between 8 and 12, right? And each of the services has testimony time, offering time, praise and worship time, seed sowing time, teaching time as well, then declaration and benediction, all and five services in 4 hours, right? So it means that you need to actually see that a lot of us as Christians are not living as Christians because we don't have enough time in being exposed to the word. So what I'm actually saying to you is that whilst we can see we are doing good as a local church, to an extent, like fairly doing good. What I mean by fairly doing good is that we are fairly doing an hour, 30 minutes per service in teaching. Are we together, right? That's not enough. That is not enough. That is not enough. That's not enough. That's not enough, right? So out of 168 hours, you take out 3 hours of me talking the way I'm talking. That means you have 168 hours of your week to yourself. You have 168 hours of your week to yourself, right? Bless your heart if you sleep 10 hours a day. Yeah, you sleep 10 hours a day, 7 days, that's 70 hours. You realize that you are sleeping more than you should. Are we together? You're sleeping for 70 hours and listen to God's word for 3 hours. Why won't they beat you in the dream? Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah, why won't they chase you in the dream? Yeah, it's just, you see, there are some things you cannot shy away from. Yeah, yeah, another 70 hours you've taken 70 hours after 165 hours. That means you have 95 hours to go. Out of 95 hours, you are watching Prison Break, right? Some of you are so good at following 3 different seasonal movies as well at a go. You are watching 3 different movies. You are watching Suits. Some of you are watching Suits for the 5th time. Yeah, you have watched Suits from part 1, you have watched to season 9, you've watched all the episodes, you've watched Game of Thrones, you are watching Better Call Saul, Better Call Peter, you are watching Breaking Bad, Breaking Good, you have watched everything, you are still watching it again, right? And so why are you surprised that somebody put the Bible beside your pillow? Why are you surprised somebody came to use the Bible to beat you in your dreams? Are we here? That's what I'm just trying to say is you need to get serious when it comes to spiritual. So I'm trying to talk to you as to how you need to talk to your disciple, but like I'm emphatically talking to you, I'm paying attention to you today, right? Because you have to be a model for the things you want to teach or stand for. You have to be an example of things you want to model and stand for. So you can't say you are sleeping for 70 hours. You're using 50 hours of your week. Because think about it, an average seasonal series, we have about 45 minutes to 50 minutes per series, or per episode, an average of 50 minutes. You put 50 minutes in 10 episodes, you've watched 10, that's 500 minutes. All together, divide that by 60, or you do 60 minutes in 10 days, that's 600 minutes. So you spend 6 hours as well, yeah, if I'm not mistaken. That don't forgive my mathematics, whatever you get. I hope you are getting the point. That's what matters, right? Yeah, but you cannot grow if you don't pay attention to devotion, study, praying, giving yourself to God's word, listening to God's word from time to time. Yeah, you cannot actually be listening to me for only 3 hours in a week, right? And what you do with the rest of your life are frivolities. You're on Instagram for 3 days. Yeah, some of you, if you put the number of days you spend on Instagram in a week, it is 3 days. Like your phone will just tell you 3 days. That means when you cumulatively bring everything together, you spend 24 hours times three, right? And that's no exaggeration. Yeah, you spend 24 hours times three on your Instagram, on your Facebook, on your Twitter, on your TikTok. Well, yeah, you see, when you bought your phone, it is your money you use to buy your phone. So it means you can do what you want to do with your phone. You can pay attention to actually do, you can actually decide what you want to do with your phone. Yeah, you can delete my number from your phone. It is your phone. I have no right to accuse you. It is your phone. I can send you a message that is long and your reply to me is full stop. And you send it, it is your phone, it is your data, it is your internet, it's your everything, right? Yeah, it is your own. So it means that if it is your own, it means that you should as well and be able to delete an app. Yeah, no phone comes with Instagram by default. There's no phone that follow come TikTok. No, there's no phone. Yeah, so you can decide to actually delete TikTok from your phone. You can decide to actually delete Instagram from your phone. You can decide to actually delete Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of them together from your phone. You can actually start by actually deleting one, then leaving two. And when you realize, some people are not sincere. Yeah, you delete one and you leave another one. Then all the time we're using on the other one, you want to be serious, but all the time we're using on the other one, you have not transferred it to this new one. Let me be frank with you, right? So you had Facebook and you had Instagram before, right? You now deleted Facebook. Usually you spend 2 hours on Facebook, 2 hours on Facebook, 2 hours on Instagram. You've not deleted Facebook. You now bring your 2 hours on Facebook, you know, carry over. Yeah, you know what you call carry over. You know, how many of you remember how to do all those division sign? Yeah, when you want to do long division, 5 divided by 21, right? You bring down, yeah, you 5 in 2, 0, 5 in 21, 4, bring down one. You know all those things, yeah. You now carry over those 2 hours into Instagram or Facebook alone. Then you spend 4 hours, you are just deceiving yourself. Are we together? Right? You see, you should be able to turn your phone. And thankful for technology today, technology has now been able to help you measure your screen time. You can know how many hours you spend. Go and check it on your phone. Don't act like you don't know where it is. If you don't know where it is, go and ask Google. Right? If you check how many seconds you're doing on using your phone, don't tell me you're using your phone to listen to the message. That's why it's counting screen time. No. Go and check your Instagram app. There's a data that shows you how many minutes you spend on Instagram a day. Right? So it's something you need to intentionally do. You cannot claim you don't have time. Let me tell you something. See, when the devil always tries to raise his ugly head, he doesn't give you warning ahead. I would care. That is why it's when people find themselves in difficult situations, they're looking for the best or the type of prayer they need to pray in that situation. There's sin. Let it be that before the storm raises his ugly head, you are well prepared, seated and rooted in the word. Are we together? Yeah, there was someone that was helping me a couple of years ago who I was going through a challenge, and the person reached out to me to ask me what scripture can they use for this. As a shepherd, as a disciple, I'll still give you the scriptures to use. But you see, you shouldn't actually allow anything happen to you before you know there are scriptures you can use to put your heart in a safe place. No, you shouldn't allow that to happen. You can give your attention, give your span, give your mind, give everything that you have, right? Give it to God's word and let it be a culture so that no matter what happens to you, you are paying attention to God's word. You are just responding, reacting with God's word, right? Nothing gets you scared. Nothing gets you timid. You are rest assured, you know, you are relaxed in God's love. You are sound, or the word is you are stable. That's what I was looking for. You are stable in God's word, right? So give your attention to God's word, right? Don't let your life be a cycle where you are waking up in the morning, you go to the office, from the office you come back home, you continue on your phone. On your break time, you're on your phone. You say, Pastor, I don't have time for evangelism. Well, you have time for evangelism. You have time to listen to the word. You have time to grow in the word. You have time to pray. You see, if you pray 10 minutes six times a day, you've prayed 1 hour in a day. Do you understand? The problem we have is that we want to wait for the day when we have 10 hours to pray at a stretch. Even me as your pastor, I rarely have the opportunity to pray 5-6 hours at a stretch again. I rarely do it, right? I rarely do it. That's the truth. Yeah. But do I pray 5-6 hours every week? I pray nothing less than that every week. Right, but if I want to wait, maybe this Friday evening, because if you want to know how busy my calendar is, you'll be surprised. My calendar is actually super tight. I'll be together, right? Super tight with lots of things to do. But regardless of that, I'm sure that I spend nothing less than 10 hours of my week. And me saying 10 is just being generous to pray every week. That is prayer, not study. Do you understand? But let me tell you for free. I really have 10 hours at a stretch. I really can say in a day, I will just wake up on Friday and just say, I'll just use it because I have a work, I have a job. I will together, I have a work, I have a job. But why don't I give myself a little reasoning, right? What do? I break down my 1 hour, my 10 hours into 10 days or into 10 times. I will together ensure you do an hour 30 minutes every day. Ensure you do that for 6 days, for 7 days. Consistently, you keep doing that, even if it's for 5 days, right? You can't do an hour 30 minutes. Start with five minutes. Ensure you start with 5 minutes. Ensure you consistently do it. Just be committed to it. Ensure that every day you are praying 10 minutes. Ensure that every hour you are praying 5 minutes, right? You see, if you pray 2 minutes every hour of the day, you've successfully prayed 48 minutes. I mean, 2 minutes, once it is 8, you pray 2 minutes. Once it is 9, you pray 2 minutes. You have prayed 48 minutes. You have prayed more than 30 minutes. You've prayed more than someone who is waiting for 4.8 hours at a stretch to pray. Do you understand? Right? We are going on a train. Why are you watching people that are pushing trolley? Why are you watching people that are pushing tram? Why are you just observing? Why can't you use that time to study God's word? Why can't you use that time to pray? You observe everybody. You know the person that comes in after you. You know the person that, when you are not CCTV camera, right? You can get yourself actually busy. You can get yourself in the world. You can get yourself on the train with your laptop, put in your earplugs. You know where your stop is. Listen to God's word. Take notes. Talk in tongues under your breath. Go for walks. You are in your office. Leave your desk. Go downstairs. Just go on a walk. 5 minutes. Just as if you want to go pick something in the kitchen, use a 5 minutes walk and make sure it's 5 minutes. Go there, pick your stuff, walk back. You have done 2 minutes, 30 seconds there, 2 minutes, 30 seconds back. You've spoken in tongues for 5 minutes. If you do that 10 times in a day, If you do that 12 times in a day, you've prayed for 1 hour in a day, right? So it means you can be among those who can say, for instance, that in their devotion, they do an hour of prayer every day. You see, it's not impossible. It is not impossible. So spiritual growth is something that is expected of the believer. And you only grow by being intentional and being deliberate. We looked at certain scriptures as well, like Philippians 2:12, which one of the excerpts of last week carries one of the things we said about working out your salvation. And we said, work out your salvation means to have a full on display of what has been worked into you. Now, we said that spiritual growth is not an increase in number of years. Well, I've lived 50 years, I've lived 200 years, I've lived such and so number of years in the Christian faith. I've been a Christian before you were born. I've been a believer before they give birth to you, before your father's father gave birth. Well, that's all good. That's fine, right? But do we see you displaying the conduct of a believer? So it's very, 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 very important for you to pay attention. Now, one of the things again that spiritual growth does for you is it enables you, or it involves you walking in the Spirit. Look at Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. That's very important to note. Even Galatians 5:16. See what verse 16 says. This I say, walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to the one to the another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. They are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envy one another. Now, if you look through verse 16 to 20, one of the things we see there is that, it says there's something called the fruits. If you look at the word fruit in verse 22, the word fruit can be used to refer to several activities, and in the real sense, it will boil down to man's actions or conduct, so to say. So a good way to look at the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22 is the result of seed sown. A fruit of the Spirit will be the Spirit is a seed sown, and there's a fruit that is the result of, right, or the product of. So it's very important to have an understanding of these things, right? So he's saying the fruit of, so Paul was explaining the result or the product of the new birth, because the new birth will be the plantation of God's Spirit in the heart of man. Are we together? So what did he say? He says love, fundamentally, right? So when he says in verse 16, and I say walk in the Spirit, okay? If I say walk in the Spirit, can we also say walk in the fruits of the Spirit, or display the things of the Spirit, right? Or we can actually look at it as walk in your nature, right? Because your nature you have now received is the nature of Christ, or nature of God's Spirit in your heart altogether, right? So it is not walk to receive. No, it is actually walk from, walk in. Right? Walk from, walk in. That means let your characters, let the things that are expressed from your thoughts, your words, your actions be emanate from the Spirit. Do you remember on Sunday we did a teaching quickly on James 4? We said James 4 speaks about, what did James 4 teach about? Ye ask amiss and receive not. Ye ask and receive because ye ask amiss. And we said that teaching particularly is to point our attention to desiring things that are outside the nature of the Spirit. Altogether, desiring things that are outside the nature of the Spirit, right? So that's the attitude that the believer must not get himself involved with. That is, things that are outside of the spirit, and it lists them for you: adultery, fornication, greediness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, various emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So it means that by default there is something that's expected to be seen. But it says, for the fruits, what is fruit? You said fruit means product. So the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Are we together? So it means that as a believer, you are joyful, you're full of love, full of peace. Yeah, you are long suffering, you are gentle, right? You are gentle. So that's the attitude that the believer needs to have or ought to have, right? So, and the truth is that the only way we can get to a place where this thing is seen or made manifest free flow or easily is from a place of consecration, a place of division. Are we together? Right? Yeah? From a place of consecration. Now, one of the things I realized or I found out over time is that a lot of times we misplace our responsibility in the place of devotion and consecration for our identity. Or we replace our identity with our revelation. So for instance, see a believer saying there are some songs you don't sing. What song can come to mind right now? There's a popular song. So then let's say, as in, I give myself away so you can use me. You know, hear somebody wake up and say, how can you say you give yourself away? You have nothing to give to God. It's God that, So for instance, I mean, you have even heard me say it over time, say, we don't give our life to Jesus, we receive his life. There is a time, my dear brother, my dear sister, that you give your life to Jesus. There's a time to receive his life. When you're dead in sins, dead in trespasses, you didn't have his life, you are an unbeliever in sin and doomed for the bondage of sin and death, yes, you don't have a life. You receive the life of Jesus. Then you now give your life to Jesus. Yeah. So when you preach to somebody who is an unbeliever, right, what he's doing is not to give his life to Jesus. Right, yeah, but when he receives the life of Jesus, he can now give his life to the affairs, to the devotion, or to the things of Jesus. So I give my life to Jesus is something that you would need to intentionally wake up. There's a song that I love singing a lot. Yeah, take up my cross daily, follow you. I'm not ashamed to shout my love for you, my Lord. Simply devoted to you, oh Lord. I gave myself to follow you. The life that I live is not my own. For me to live is Christ. Right. So it's a song of consecration. A song of devotion. Dear saints, your consecration and devotion to Jesus is something you renew every day. You renew every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. You need to keep reminding yourself that you are on a journey, and you're on a journey for Jesus, and Jesus wants to use you mightily. So one of the ways you can do for this, and one of the things you can do to establish that sense of consecration is to birth of well your let me sound spooky, your altar of devotion. Altogether, when I mean altar of devotion, I just mean your mind. I just mean where you have that ability to make that consecration. Altogether, right? So we have a relationship with God, our Father. Our devotion does not make God father us more or love us more. No, right? It is critical to have a very important, vibrant, fervent relationship with the Father in devotion. Once you have a solid, stable relationship with the Father in identity. Let me say one more time. It's critical and important for the believer to have a fervent, vibrant relationship with the Father in the place of devotion, whilst the believer has a fervent, stable relationship in identity. Altogether, or identity in relationship, anyhow you want to say it. Yeah. So the question is, what exactly is devotion? Right? Devotion implies or means the expression and cultivation of our love, our longing, our thirsts, our desires, our passion for God. I'll say one more time. Devotion implies the expression and cultivation of our love, our longing, our thirst, our desire for God, and our passion. All together. So we need to build that culture of devotion, that culture of devotion, that culture of devotion. Look at Psalms 42, verse 1. Look at the verse 1. It says, the scriptures It says, as the heart, or you know that song, as the deep and it for the water blooming, so long as after thee. Yeah, that's where the author would have found, or the singer would have found that from. So it says, as the heart, that word heart is the word deer. As the deer panted after the water brooks, so panted my soul after thee, O God. Dear saints, do you have that pant? Do you treat God's word and relationship with God as the water that you need for your sustenance? It says, my soul thirsted for God, for the living God. When shall I come? You know, come and say, my soul does not thirst for God. The Bible says, my thirst has been quenched. Oh, gracious Father. There is a sense in which your quest has been quenched. And there's a sense in which you need a godly thirst. You need a godly hunger. It is the pastor has taught us, you know, we're men who were hungry, but now God has filled our hunger by the bread of the world. Hallelujah. Yeah, there's the bread that you pant for, you thirst for, you hunger for, you look forward to. And there's the bread that has quenched your hunger. Right? It says, my soul thirsted for God. My soul is thirsty. I just remember the song, yeah? My soul thirsted for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Yeah, so you look through carefully, you see that the scripture pays attention to people who had a sense of devotion. Look at Genesis 19. Let's look at Genesis 19. Genesis chapter 19. If you look through Genesis chapter 19, verse 27, it says, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Right? He got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Right? If you look at 1 Samuel 1:19. And they rose up in the morning early. Right? What did Genesis 19 say? It says, and Abraham got up early in the morning, okay? And he rose up early in the morning, that's verse 1 Samuel, right? And worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to the house of Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and yeah, the Lord remembered her. You see, Bible language, knew Hannah, his wife, means he had sexual intercourse with his wife, right? And she got pregnant. So that's Bible language, right? But it says, and he rose up early in the morning. Abraham woke up early in the morning, right? Look at Psalm 57, verse 8. Psalm 57, right? All the way in verse 8. I wake up my glory, awake psaltery and harp, right? I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great. Right, thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Look at Psalm 63, three chapters after, six chapters after. Psalm 63, verse 1. It says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsted for thee, my flesh longed for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see the power of thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Look at Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9. So what you get from all of this is that there were specific times. Look at Isaiah 26, verse 9, quickly. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Altogether. So in the real sense, there's a sense of devotion you could see. Let me show you also another one in Acts 4. Acts 3. Now go to Acts 3. Yeah, you see, you can have specific times, specific days when you do certain things, right? At this so-so-and-so time, I want to pray for 2 minutes. At this so-so-and-so time, you know, happy are you when you have a phone in our world today? You can now put an alarm. Yeah, that's the application of devotion, that is a doctrine of scriptures in our world. Yeah, so your phone can help, can aid your sense of devotion. All of us, a lot of us have alarms for waking up, alarms for eating, alarms for taking drop, but not alarm to speak with God. A lot of us have alarm of when we want to eat, alarm for when a movie wants to drop. The movie is dropping on the 15th of August 2025 at 9:55 p.m. Yeah, we have the exact alarm to give us 10 minutes before. But guess what? If you are not using your phone to aid your relationship with your father, you are using your phone wrongly as a believer. Let me tell you again, right? If what your phone is used for, to view people's WhatsApp, so people are so good at viewing people's life, you know what is happening in everybody's life. You can, like, that's a trait of someone who is jobless. You know, some people actually have jobs and they are jobless. Being jobless is not as much because you are not in the job market or job hunt market. You can have a job and you are jobless. That's the truth. Yeah. So you cannot afford to be a jobless believer with a job. No, you cannot afford. Right? You know what everybody is posting. You know what is happening. You know, it's interesting the kind of things I've heard, you know, from people over the years about things they know about me. And I'm like, I did not know that yet. And the way they traced it and followed me. And funny thing is that a lot of people don't even act, don't even talk, don't even respond. But don't be that kind of person where your life is to notice where everybody is. Yeah, I have friends who I speak to, and when they speak to me and they say, have you heard about this? And I'm like, where will I hear it from? Yeah, because me, I don't like to stress myself. Once you just get me worked up unnecessarily, I just know what to do with you. I know what to do with you in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because I need to get my heart busy. I have things that need to occupy my heart. Altogether, right? So you can't afford to use your time to just be rigmaroling around. You jump Twitter. In fact, our phones have now made it easy to switch app. You just scroll up and move left, move right. You're on Twitter, you're on Facebook. Yeah, you just know how to switch from Instagram, Twitter. I remember years ago, I used to be slightly active on Twitter, and I realized that the more I was there on Twitter, the more I was having to think of things I needed to write. So I realized that a lot of times I usually wrote as a response to what I read or saw somewhere afterwards my page. But guess what? I had to delete. In fact, Twitter is the app I've deleted the most in my life. I was active from early 2012, 2013, maybe 2014, stopped for a few years, came back 2016. Then I think the last time I was active on Twitter was probably maybe 4 or 5 years ago. In fact, I tried to go there and go and post some things there and leave there, but I just deleted it. I don't have a Twitter app on my phone, right? On TikTok, I can tell you for free, in the last 1 year, I've not, if you put the number of time I've spent on TikTok together, it's not up to 30 minutes. No. It's not 30 minutes. You put it together. It's not 30 minutes. Yeah. It's impossible because I only downloaded the app to be sharing our videos online. I don't know who follows me, who unfollows me, who doesn't follow me. But some people know all those details. You have the app that shows you this person unfollowed you at this time. You have the app that showed you. Some of you, you post pictures. You have the time. You are jobless. Let me say it differently. You are acting jobless. You have the time to know who viewed your post, who did not view your post. You have the time to, and souls are perishing. You are not growing. Those are perishing, you are not growing. But you know, Brother Ajayi, he viewed this post, but he did not say happy birthday. He viewed this post, everything I do. I know the people that go, no, don't get yourself worked up with that. There are lots of things to get yourself busy with. Lots of things to get yourself busy with. As we speak, I don't have a Facebook app on my phone. Yeah, the only social media apps I have on my phone, right? Instagram and what do you call it? And TikTok. TikTok strictly for, I told you, 1 year, you compress it together, I've not spent 30 minutes. I don't know how to view. And the world, they've caught you. They've caught you because they know how to now tailor. Sometimes I search for something on Amazon, I search for something on Google, and before you know it, I now start seeing consistent videos of those things. I'm like, So they've made it easy for you. You have unending content. Once you just search, for instance, you search for jobs, the way they will pile it up for you, and you'll be there for 3 hours, you'll be there for 5 hours, you'll be looking through it, and you say, Pastor, we don't have time for all these things, I'm really, really superficially busy. Yeah, Instagram. I go to Instagram most times of the day, at the evening, when I'm about to sleep. And what do? There are specific comedian pages I go. I don't do it every day, right? But specific comedian pages, right? I go there, I see what they have to say, and I laugh, and I leave the place. I went together, right? I could show you, I've not checked in recent time what my Instagram page is. But I cannot spend, it's impossible for me to spend 40 minutes on Instagram in a day. What am I doing there? What am I looking at? It's impossible. And this is me being very generous. Very generous. Right? So you need to get yourself busy. Get yourself busy. Have a sense of devotion. Have a sense of consecration. Right? Have a sense of devotion. Have a sense of consecration. Look at Acts chapter 3. Acts 3:1. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 1. In our world, the world by default will give you what to do. The world by default will give you what to do. Yeah. So I'm not saying you should not have things you like to do for leisure. Right? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you should not have specific days and times where you just unwind. Yeah, I have those moments, but actually they are rare, right? And even in those rare periods, I know that what I'm doing a lot of times that is refreshing to me is still listening or learning something. It might not be doctrine, but just learning something outside of doctrine, right? But what am I trying to say? Get yourself in a rounded place where you are solid enough to actually understand or have a grasp of God's word so that no matter what life challenges bring your way, you are already stable, steady in the word. Altogether, you are ready, stable, steady in the world. Some of us, it's only when you know the doctor gives a test result or something, we now begin to guess. No, let the wind blow and meet you in a place of conviction. Let the wind blow and meet you in a place of prayer. Look at Acts 3:1. Bible says Peter and John went up together into the temple. Look at what it says there. At the hour of prayer. So it was prayer time. That means they had an hour for prayer. They had an hour for prayer. The believer ought or needs to have an hour, a time of prayer. The believer needs to have a time of prayer. The believer needs to have a period, a season, a time for prayer. Very, very important. Very important. So the question is, in building devotion, what are the things we can end up doing? Let me show you something. Look at 1 Chronicles 23. Let's go through a few today. 1 Chronicles 23. Look at 1 Chronicles 23. Verse 30. First Chronicles 23, verse 13. What it says there? He says, and to stand, look at verse 29, both for the shew bread and for the fine flour for meat offering and for the unleavened cakes and for that which is baked in the pan and for that which is fried and for all manner of measure and size. And to stand every morning and thank and praise the Lord and likewise in the evening and to offer over. So it means that this set of people, their devotion involved praises to God, right? Their devotion involved praises to God. We looked at some of those scriptures as well in Psalm 63, Psalm 57, 1 Samuel, that speaks about praises to God as well as prayer. Look at Psalm 5, verse 3. Psalm 5, verse 3. When I wake up in the morning time. Yeah, look at Psalm 5, verse 3. My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer. So this is devotion time. In my devotion time will I praise. In my devotion time will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. So you can use your prayer time for what? You can use your prayer time for praises, your devotion time to involve praises. It also involves prayer. Look at Psalm 55, verse 17. Psalm 55, verse 17. Yeah? Evening, morning, and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. So it means it involves prayer as well. Look at Isaiah 50, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. Isaiah 50 verse 4, it says, the Lord God had given me the tongue of the learned, Lord learned, right? Learned, right? The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakened morning by morning, he wakened mine ears to hear as the learned. I was together, right? So it means that this involves both hearing and speaking to God. The Lord God had given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word, right? In season to him that is weary. He wakened morning by morning, wakened my ears to hear as the learned. So it involves praying, involves speaking, also involves listening, right? It involves speaking and listening. All together. So for our time, I'll just go through what you can do during your devotional time. It can involve praying, it can involve praises, listening to God's word, right? Listening to God's word, speaking to God, right? Yeah. So you must ensure that you inculcate these things into your daily activities. You must inculcate these things into your daily activities. Look at Mark. Mark. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 5. And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next town that I may preach there also. So Jesus took out time to pray. So Jesus departed into a solitary place, right? In other words, it means he left his comfort zone or a public place to a private place where he would speak or have a communication with God. So it's important for us as believers to have that time where we set up. Right, so there's a time where you can say, I'm a walking prayer mind. Everywhere I go, I have tongues under my breath. But there's also a time where, regardless of where wherever you want to go, you are not going anywhere. You are staying in a place and giving your attention to praying, or you are going on a walk. You are going on a private place, right? And you are giving your attention to pray. Not the one you are praying and you're using it to you're using it to catch up with your emails. No, you can have those times as well going, but you should have those particular times where you are giving your attention without distraction. Where you are giving your attention without distraction. So a believer needs to cultivate a private life of devotion. That's important to note. A believer needs to cultivate a private life of devotion. Are we together? Right? You are dating someone. You are married to someone. In your 5-10 years of marriage, you don't have one day where you pray in a week. You don't have 2 days where you pray in a month. You don't have one day when you pray in a year. Right? Yeah. So even as one, let me not get too troublesome today, right? Yeah. So when you have that attitude of a private and personal life of prayer, are we together? Now, whilst that is important, you must also not forget that it's important to have that corporate sense of devotion with the saints. That's why you're a member of a local church. That's why you're a member of a local church, where you have a family you can relate with, where you have a family you can interact with, where you have a family that people can spur you up in the things of God. Are we together? Where you have a family that people can get you, people can be there for you. You look at the book of Acts, they were there together. In the upper room, they were there. They were there listening to Jesus together in Acts 1. Day of Pentecost came, they were there together. Acts 13, Acts 12, Acts 2, 13, Peter stood up to teach. They were there together. Acts 3, Peter, James, and Peter will be going into the temple at the house of prayer. And that's right? So we must actually pay attention to having that sense of devotion in our lives. We must have that sense of devotion in our lives. So we need to ensure that we fill our lives, we fill our activities with these things. Another thing again you can do, let me pay attention to praying and feeding on the word, is Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. Look at Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. Psalms 1, the book of Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. Hear what it says there. Look at Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law, in his law does he meditate day and night. All together, right? In his law. So what is in law? In his word, in his doctrine, in his teaching, does he meditate day and night? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. Altogether, meditate day and night. So we need to give our attention to meditating on God's word day and night. Look at Joshua 1:8. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So your devotional time, you should have meditation on God's word, praying, praises. Yeah. Some of us, what we do with our devotional time is just to praise, 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 praise. It's good to praise. Oh, Joshua, give us one song. Esther, give us one song. Right? Joseph, give us one song. Yeah. Stephanie, give us one song. Yeah. It's good for all of that. Yeah. Then when everybody gives one song, they clap, they clap, they sing, they give another round. When it's time for prayer, Father Lord, we just give you all the praise for today. Thank you, Lord, for being with us from the morning all through today. May name be highly exalted. And also, as we're going to sleep this night, we cover our house in the blood of Jesus. We drink the blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. We cover our existence in the blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. No, there's time for praise. There's time for meditating on the word. And there's time for what? Studying the word and actually praising and praying. So there's time for praying, time for praising, time for meditating on the word, right? Yeah, just have a sense of devotion. I'm not saying it's wrong to be saying, give Jesus, give us a song. And no, I'm not saying that's how I grew up. No, right? I grew up with devotion daily, actually. You know, and proper, trust me, yeah, devotion daily. So in the real sense, what I'm saying to you is maintain that attitude and posture of a consistency and commitment to Jesus every day. Yeah, this book of laws shall not depart, but thou shalt meditate. Mind you, it says meditate. That the word will not depart from your mouth. So the word meditate actually means to ponder and actually say to yourself. So when it says, this book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and day and night. It's not just to say, read it and just think on it. As you're thinking on it, you utter words. You utter words, you mutter words, you say things. Right? Yeah? So it shall not depart. That's what meditating involves. It involves you reasoning, thinking, pondering, then saying. Altogether, look at Paul in this instruction, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Timothy 4, verse 15. He says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting. Yeah? Joshua, Psalm 1, we say, that you may prosper. Right? Yeah, I shall be like a river planted by riverside flourishing. Yeah, he says that their profiting may appear. So it means for profitability to appear a lot for the believer, he must have painstakingly taking time in the closet, muttering, meditating on God's word. He says, meditate upon these things, meditate upon the word spoken of. What is he talking about? Till I come, give attendance to reading. Yeah, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. It says, neglect not. So what is he saying? Meditate upon words that are spoken about you from the place of prayer or special meetings, right? Or believers' meetings. Yeah. Words are spoken to you through the reading of God's word. When you listen to God's word being taught explicitly in soundness, it says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, right? That thy profiting may appear to all. So it means that you need to think deeply. Need to get your mind, your soul involved in the thinking of it, right? Yeah, it must allow God's word to revolve around your mind, right? You must let the object of God's word, you know, be the center and focus of your mind. Look at how Paul says it in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Hallelujah. I hope you're instructed by this teaching and you are going to start acting on it from today. Right, look at Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Now, what it says in verse 2, what I'm going to, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. So, how do you renew your mind? You renew your mind by meditating on the word. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good. Acceptable, perfect will of God. You cannot afford to allow your time to be spent majorly on the things the world is presenting or bringing your way. You need to pay attention to the real truth of God's word, to the reality of God's word, the truth of God's word. He says, do not be conformed to this world, be transformed. That's how transformation comes. Transformation comes only by what? The renewing of your mind. And that happens by the meditating of God's word. And that happens by pondering and paying attention and muttering and uttering words said from the scriptures. Altogether. You know, sometimes I catch myself in the middle of a bush or middle of anywhere walking, and I'm just speaking. I'm just pointing. I'm just wondering. I'm not praying. I'm not necessarily praying. Right? But I'm just thinking on God's word. Oh, wow. Yeah. And you see, a lot of times, yeah, it keeps your heart sane. It keeps your heart in perfect peace. Are we together? Yeah, yeah. It makes you bring the reality of the peace you've received in the resurrection into, right, your mind, your soul, your heart. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 20. James 1. If you look through James chapter 1, it says verse 21, it says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Right? It says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. You see that word there, deceiving, actually is a word that means to act beside who you are. Right? To act beside oneself. Right? So it says, do not be a doer of, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers. So it means that there is something about you. There's something about who you are, right? You don't need to act beside or act outside that. Says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, but deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Altogether, right? So you need to be a doer of the word. You only do the word when you meditate on the word and make God's word what you breathe and breathe in and breathe out every second, every day, every moment of your life, right? So on Sunday, we'll try to wrap it up and pay attention to the practice. So I did a flip. I was supposed to teach first the practicality of following up before the doctrines and the teachings you do in your follow-up meetings, but I brought the follow-up meeting forward, and I hope that's been instructive to you. So what I'm saying to you is that in all of these follow-up meetings, the things that I said, devotion, spiritual growth, sonship, righteousness, they're as much for your disciples, but they are first as much for you as a disciple of our Lord and Savior, right? So you need to pay attention to these things. Then on Sunday, we'll now look at how to initiate those conversations, how to start those conversations, how to have those meeting points, right? Yeah, imagine bringing a newborn baby into your house, and as soon as you just give it to the baby, you just say, well, you see that that's the fridge, you see that that's where the store is, do anything you want to do. No, right? For a newborn, you need to what? Show them and pick them and practically lead them through the way. Very important. So that I didn't just start up a thought today and stop midway, let me end here. Well, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your day your way. I hope you've been instructed by that. Until I come your way again on Sunday, stay joyful in Christ Jesus. Yeah, so we are offline now. Just to remind you all, ensure that you follow up with your prayers that you